So we place a bin in the back, and when the restaurant needs to change their cooking oil, they dump in our bins.
And that's really what we want to do, is we want to reclaim that grease so it doesn't end up in a landfill. Traditional treatment for grease trap waste, it just ends up going into a landfill and just sitting, breaking down that animal fat and things like that, kind of just end up in the water system eventually.
For most of us, used cooking oil is something we never think about. It disappears after the fries are cooked, after the chicken wings come out of the fryer, after the restaurant closes for the night. But what if that waste could become something useful again? What if it could help power trucks, support restaurants, reduce landfill waste, and create an entire industry built around recycling what most people just throw away?
I came from the mud, there's dirt on my hands. Strong like a tree, there's roots where I stand.
I'm David Zelsky, and this is the Fork in the Road podcast, presented by Georgia Grown and the fine folks at Georgia Public Broadcasting. Today, we're headed inside the world of biofuels and wastewater recycling at Clean Energy Biofuels. And we're going to meet the people doing the dirty work that helps keep a lot of grease out of landfills and helps turn it into fuel. This episode has us in Monroe, Georgia. Monroe is just shy of 50 miles east of downtown Atlanta. Basically, you take Highway 78 eastbound, past Stone Mountain, through Snellville and Loganville.
Where's Loganville?
And finally, through the little town of, get this, Between, Georgia. Yes, really. And then you'll arrive in Monroe. Now, before there were trucks, before there were wastewater plants, and before there were more than 60 employees, there was a farm, a blender, and a family just trying to do things differently.
So we started in 2006, and we started really as a biodiesel plant. And the way that came about was my wife was talking to me. Our kids were young, and we have a farm adjacent to where the plant is now. And she said, we really need to look at more sustainable ways of farming. And she said, look into biodiesel. And I, of course, had no idea what biodiesel is. And from there, I made some biodiesel in a jar and then a blender. And then I went to 250 gallons. And our kids were playing in the barn, and we had methanol, and we had highly caustic sodium hydroxide. And kids and that don't mix. And so we said, okay, let's figure out what our next steps are. Because this isn't, we can't do this.
That's Rick Huzak. He's the president of Clean Energy Biofuels. And what started as a small experiment eventually became a business focused on collecting used cooking oil from restaurants across the Southeast.
We started collecting used cooking oil from restaurants, and we ended up buying a firm that had locations in Atlanta and up in Knoxville. And that was in 2011, and from there we just kind of grew. And so over the years, we had the biodiesel plant, then we had the service sector for servicing restaurants and collecting reused cooking oil. We started on a foray of all-natural lighter fluid for charcoal called Smarter Starter and EcoGreen. And that kind of coalesced to, we had our fingers in a lot of different places and we needed to focus.
For a while, the company experimented with consumer products too. Natural lighter fluids, plant-based charcoal products. But today, the company's focus is much narrower and much, much bigger.
Long story short, kind of fast forward in 2023, we decided, okay, let's go ahead and make things a little simpler. Let's downsize and get out of some of the consumer goods and out of the renewable fuel, and let's focus on servicing restaurants throughout the Southeast. At that time, we had a facility right outside of Richmond, Virginia. We had a facility right outside of Jacksonville, Florida, Mobile, Alabama, and then we have two in the Atlanta area. And they are dedicated to collecting used cooking oil from restaurants. So we place a bin in the back, and when the restaurant needs to change their cooking oil, they dump in our bins. And then we have our mini trucks go and service them, bring it back, clean it up, and then we turn around and we sell it to our major clients. And they in turn make renewable fuel.
One of the things that makes this business interesting is that nearly everyone benefits. The restaurants, the environment, the fuel companies, and even the sewer systems.
It's not like they're giving away their money. They get something for it too.
That's right. And that's a good point. As the carbon market has increased in value, and the restaurants share in that, where we send them rebate checks for their oil that we collect from them. So we're all kind of in it together.
Yep, you heard that right. Restaurants get paid for their used oil. But more importantly, they don't have to deal with overflowing grease bins. That can get nasty.
You know, the restaurant business is a challenging, tough business to be in. And what they care about is they care about servicing their customer. And they can't stand it if they have a situation where they have an overflow of oil and they can't deal with it.
Because of the work being done at Clean Energy Biofuels, that used cooking oil gets a new lease on life and becomes a valuable commodity.
Majority of the majors have renewable refineries, and they're in that Louisiana corridor, right next to New Orleans. So we'll truck and we rail our product. Most of it goes into that Louisiana Gulf Coast area.
Getting from fryer grease to usable fuel takes a lot of work and a lot of science. Inside the facility, there are pipes everywhere. Steam, storage tanks, massive separators spinning at thousands of revolutions per minute, and people constantly testing, filtering, repairing, monitoring.
So when we collect oil from restaurants, they'll dump it in a bin, and then when our trucks pick it up and bring it back here, it's got about 25 to 30% of water in it.
That water has to come out, and it has to be clean.
And then we've got to get that water out. So we run it through these stainless reactors here. They've got a steam coil in it, and we run high pressure steam, and we can heat these up to about 150 Fahrenheit within 4 hours. And when you do that, the specific gravity of oil versus water, you get the separation, kind of like salad dressing, oil and vinegar. And that water will drop down to the bottom and we'll drain that off, and then we'll take it to one of our wastewater treatment facilities.
And then there's this machine, a machine so specialized, most people have never even seen one.
Yeah, my name is Paul Ludwig. I'm the general manager for H2O Recycling and AES. So now we'll walk over to the oil separation machine, which is a tri-canner. And basically the way that works is we're spinning this water-oil emulsion at really high RPMs, and we're getting a three-phase separation. That's why it's called a tri-canner. Typical kind of oil or sludge water separator is a di-canner, so it's two-phase. And what this machine is actually does three phases.
Let me get over here real quick.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the tri-canner, we use a Flotweg. There is different manufacturers of this piece of equipment, but it's pretty much used in animal fat separation or reclaims for sludge oil. So you'll see these in some of the other waste processing companies, or some of the big food manufacturers, they may use these to reclaim some of the oil.
So it's spinning so fast it can separate things in three categories?
That's right. So it spins at about 2,800 RPMs, so pretty fast. Like I said, we get a solid separation, a water separation, then we actually get an oil. And this is the product that we reclaim and then reuse, sell back to other companies for biofuels.
The goal is simple. Reuse everything you can. Waste as little as possible.
So that's our end goal, is to have a full circle of recycling.
Honestly, what stands out most about Clean Energy Biofuels isn't the machinery, it's the people. People like James Collins. He's a welder and fabricator.
What I do here is I either build or refurbish our return containers, and the more vulnerable ones, I do little innovations to try to slow or hopefully to stop theft from happening to them by adding extra precautions that cause the thieves to have a much more difficult time in order to enter the containers to steal the product out that we collect.
Yes, people do steal used cooking oil a lot. Enough of it that the company has to spend time and effort redesigning containers to stop theft.
So I'll take and weld on the little extra features to some of the containers in order to stop them from entering them. Or if they come in damaged, like I've had some of these come in, and they cut the locks off, so I replace those. I cut pieces and replace them and weld them back on so that they look like they haven't been damaged or anything. So I try to keep that. And occasionally I have certain types of equipment repairs and whatnot. So I, as a welder, take care of the welding for fixing on the equipment and trucks and whatnot.
And sometimes it sounds like you have to kind of outsmart the thieves sometimes.
I do. As I progress on putting features on, they try to progress in cutting into them. But I try to outthink them because I know that they're going to go soft on thinking that I haven't done anything to it. So when they attempt to break into them, I make it much more difficult for them. And I have deterred them on several occasions. And then they bypass me a couple of occasions and still get us. But most times it works out fairly well for what I do to them, and it keeps them out of our hair.
Sounds like you're the good guy in the story, and they're not.
I try to be.
And then there's the lab work.
All right, say and spell your name for me and your position here.
Rodney, R-O-D-N-E-Y, Ovenshire, O, V as in Victor. E-N-S-H-I-R-E.
Okay, and your position?
I'm the plant manager.
Okay, so you're testing water and you're testing oil?
We're testing water to see if it, A, has oil in it, or if it has any organics in it that we have trouble treating that could upset the system. Like if it's got high metals or something like that in it, it affects on how we treat the system going out, the water going out.
It is pretty amazing because you see the amount of waste that is in there, and it's pretty amazing all the machinery, all the science physics that go into turning it into crystal clear pure water.
And exactly, you see the water side in this. Of course, we also have the oil, which some of these are samples of. All right, this one here is a sample of an oil going out, so you can see the difference. Like this is a little bit of sediment, this is the clean grease trap waste after we've treated it and run it through our tricanter.
So this could run a vehicle right here?
No, this is what they'll use this as a feedstock to blend into biodiesel.
Got it. Okay. So,
but this is the stuff that on the top of half is what you really want. But then you can get some, I don't know if you can see it good.
Yeah, I can see the difference.
Yep.
Bottom's a little lighter.
Yep, it's a little lighter and has a little bit of some solids in there still. Mm-hmm. Just a slight amount of it. But that's stuff that we would actually pull off when we drain our oil tank to load the trucks. We would pull this off and reprocess it again. It'll come back through the system again.
Okay. And you're just testing these samples here?
Yeah. And a lot of this is visual, but we do have a centrifuge over that. We spin it in to see it, if there's water still left in it or solids left in it. So we can pull that out. And like I said, we pump out the bad stuff and then keep the good oil. And that's what goes to biodiesel.
It's industrial work, dirty work, stinky work, and precise work. And it all happens behind the scenes, usually miles away from the restaurants where the oil started. For Rick Huzzack, this was never just about fuel. It was about trying to rethink waste.
To me, the really cool thing is that it is the ultimate way of recycling the sun, because everything really comes from the sun, unless you pull it from the earth, which is crude oil, but crude oil originally came from the sun. But I think it's neat that it actually is an agricultural product. It supports the farming industry. It is renewable. It's a testament to the fact that I think that people like to be environmentally minded. They might not necessarily want to pay to do that, But then you bring in the full circle of the waste from the restaurants and the waste from industry in the food sector, bring that together and you create something that then is a renewable product that can substitute for a crude oil product.
And maybe that's the most interesting thing here. Not that fryer oil becomes fuel, but that an entire network of people, truck drivers, restaurant workers, scientists, welders, plant managers, and engineers all work together to keep something useful from becoming waste. At a time when so much gets thrown away, this place is built around the idea that maybe there's still value left in it, even after the fryer's turned off. For more stories like this one, you can watch A Fork in the Road on GPB TV or anytime on the GPB.org website. That's where you'll be able to listen to and subscribe to this podcast or download it on your favorite podcast platform. I'm David Zelsky. Thanks for listening to A Fork in the Road.